Well, good morning. Okay, to get us started, I need a little bit of crowd participation here. You don't have to say anything out loud, so you can rest at ease about that. But I need everyone to participate, okay? If you'll bear with me just for a second. You may need to dig way back into the recesses of your memory to pull this up, but hopefully it's not too awful far. Here's a question for you. What would you say is one of the most encouraging things anyone has ever said to you? Now, I know if you're like my wife, you're thinking of the most is a little bit, you know, intimidating. So just one of the most, somewhere kind of high up in the list. Take a moment by yourself, just for a second, if you will. Maybe it was a week ago. Maybe it was 10 years ago. Maybe it was something a relative said to you, a coworker said to you. Just draw up in your mind the context, if you will, just for a second, of one of the most encouraging things anyone has ever said to you. I'm going to give you just a moment to think of that. My hope is that you're not having to dig really deep to come up with something like that. I hope that somewhere in your life there's a little bit of encouragement that's taken place, and hopefully it's not been too awfully far. But to kind of get us going, let me just give you a little bit of context into my world, and I'll tell you about one of the most encouraging things anyone ever said to me. Now, to understand this, you need to understand my world a little bit in that I am an absolute sports nut. Now, when I say I'm a sports nut, you probably envision a guy that likes to watch a little bit of football. No, I am way out of bounds, addictive, out of control. I can't have ESPN in my house type of sports nut, okay? If I did, I would like totally ignore all of my family members and probably lose my job. I mean, it's just way out of bounds for me, so I have to be really careful. And as you would probably guess by looking at me, of all sports that I enjoy to play, that I'm kind of most gifted to play, most wired to play, I've been a basketball player for most of my life. It's okay if you assume that. I get that a lot. A lot of people come up to me, hey, Sean, are you a basketball player? I don't feel pigeonholed by that. I understand. It's just kind of a natural thing when you look at me, my stature, my height, all of that. I can understand that assumption. Well, this will come as a big surprise to you, but I actually was not a huge star on my high school basketball team. Again, most people are really surprised to hear that, but I wasn't. I really didn't even play that often. But fortunately for me, I went to a college. I went to a couple different colleges, but the one that I landed on, their team was so bad. Their team was so awful that I could even make the team. Now, this is much more a statement of how bad they were than how good I was, trust me. But nevertheless, made the team. And so the context for this is, I think, junior year, relatively early on in the season, and we're in one of these Christmas tournaments. So it's a Friday night, Saturday night kind of thing. And on Friday night, we had played, and one of my buddies is out on three-point line on the wing, puts up a shot. And as I should be, I go in for a rebound because I'm there to bang with the big guys. Why wouldn't I? And so I go in for a rebound. I go up high for the rebound, which high for me. And a guy comes across my arm. And I think if I remember correctly, I think he ripped my arm off my body. I think I remember looking down and seeing my arm laying there, picking it up and reattaching it in like Lego format of some kind. And man, just absolutely hurt like crazy. So I'm out of the game. Fortunately, it's late in the game. I didn't miss a ton of action. So fast forward to the next morning, Saturday morning, it's the final night of the tournament, and we get a little time to shoot around in the gym. Well, we're in the gym shooting around, and my buddies are all on the court. I'm not shooting around because I'm actually sitting on the bench with just ice just all over me, ace bandage, look like I've been in, you know, World War III type situation. I'm just all bandaged up, and my coach comes into the gym. Coach comes in watching the guys shoot around, walks over to me and says, hey, man, how you feeling? I said, Coach, I feel awful. I mean, I can't even move my arm. And that's when he said it. That's when, for me, time stood still. That's when, for me, it seemed like all of heaven and earth stopped. And the God of the universe took my coach's words and implanted them into my soul. Now, to you, it might not be that big a thing, but I'm just telling you, for where I was at that place in my life, it was absolutely huge. And my coach at this little insignificant college looked me in the eyes and said, man, you got to get better. He said, we don't have a chance without you tonight. Now, you need to understand the context. I'm at a totally insignificant little college, okay? This is a relatively insignificant game, which no one on the planet still remembers the outcome of, other than myself. The truth be told, my ability to contribute in that game would not have had a make or break difference. But even with all of that context, the words of my coach at that season of my life, at that moment of my life, landed on my soul and they built me up. They added on to my life. And God used my coach's words to impact me in a powerful way, a way that over 15 years later, I still remember them, and they're still a part of the fuel that carries me through my life. So here's the question I have for you. Do you think my coach had any idea when he walked into the gym that day that what he was about to say was going to have that kind of profound impact on me? No chance. He had no idea. And without any question, if I were to give you the broader context of my life, you would understand probably a little why that meant so much to me and why for me it really was bigger than just a basketball statement, but it was a statement that God was using in my life to help me see that God had greater things going on in my world that he wanted me to be a part of, and I had a vital role to play. And so God took the words of my coach that came out of his mouth and implanted them in my heart, in my soul, and I've carried them around with me for over 15 years. Now, if I remember my response correctly right after that, I think I instantly ripped all the bandages off and I was like, Coach, I'm great. I'm great. No problem. You know, you need me out there. You can't win without me tonight. Yeah, okay. Then I'm in great shape. But the truth is, his words impacted me in a profound way that have stuck with me for a long time. But if I were to also let you into another part of my soul, I would tell you about words that people have shared with me that have had a profound impact in a negative way as well. Words that have hurt my soul, words that people have said out of anger, out of frustration, out of bitterness maybe that was going on in their own world that cut me, that I still remember many years later, which challenged my view of myself. Words that have been painful. And if I could be fully honest with you this morning, one of the things that I would say is on way too many occasions, I've been the ones delivering those painful words. Those words have come out of my mouth that I would love to get back that have caused wounds, that have caused harm in other people's lives. And I know, you know, I'm the only one here in the room that this is true for today, but this is true in my life, so just kind of bear with me. But boy, has email messed me up, okay? I know, again, I'm the only one this relates to, so just kind of bear with me just for a second. But when I'm sitting behind a keyboard and, you know, I've got the monitor in front of me and I'm frustrated about something, I've got all kind of courage. You know, things that I would never say face to face. But, you know, you just give me a keyboard, give me a chance to just lash out with a couple of things. Man, I could just do some serious, serious damage. By the way, I do want to just go ahead and throw this out there. If you're an entrepreneur this morning, if you're an entrepreneurial type of business person, I have an invention I'd like to tell you about this morning that will help you make $1 billion, guaranteed $1 billion investment, okay? That is, if you can invent a key that actually works and put it on my keyboard that is the 30 minutes later, get my email button back that I just sent, I'm telling you, I and many of the other people here today will pay you countless dollars to be able to get some of those emails back that we sent about 30 minutes later when we can see life a little more clearly. But it's just true, isn't it? There's a connection somehow between the words that come out of people's mouths and the way they land on our soul and the impact that they make in many of our lives. You see, the same thing is true for many of you. Some people have told you some encouraging, some profound, some powerful things that have impacted the course and the direction of your life. For some of you, if we went around the room today and we talked about the story that you've experienced and we talked about how words have impacted you, you would back up to middle school. You would back up to a time where you wrote an essay or you wrote out a story and you turned it in and your language arts teacher wrote back, or maybe she even said to you face to face, you are a fantastic writer. You've got a gift in writing. You should pursue this. And so lo and behold, you end up majoring in journalism. You look back now and where you are, and your career is at a place in life now because of something someone said to you when you were 13 years old. The words have had a profound impact in your life. Others of you might would tell a story of when you were relatively new in your career and you had a boss or you had a mentor who spoke into your world. And maybe they saw you close a deal, or maybe they saw you lead a team, or they saw you accomplish some unique task. And as a result of that, they spoke and said, you've got potential, you've got promise, you can make a difference in this industry. And their words have been fuel for you. And as you look back now, maybe in the latter stages of your career and where you've arrived, you look back and the words that they said to you, maybe many, many years ago, have made a significant impact. They've been fuel that have carried you to this place in life. You see, if we went around the room today, another story that would come up, and if this is your story, I really think this is important. I think you need to kind of hang on to this for a minute. After the service, you'll come forward. I'd like to talk with you about this specifically, okay? Because this is important. There's a group of you that you were one day walking through your house very innocently, and there was some music playing in the background, and just for the sake of the illustration, let's say it was Whitney Houston, I Will Always Love You, okay? Something like that is playing. And you start singing along with your music. And your mother, your sweet mother, God love her, she's a wonderful woman. Has nothing to do with your mother, okay? She's a great woman. Your mother listens and says, honey, you have a beautiful voice. You know what? You need to be on that American Idol. That's what you need to be on. And so your sweet mother, God love her, she's a wonderful woman. Has nothing to do with your mother, okay? She's a great woman. But she led you now to spend the last three seasons waiting in line, you know, at your local establishment of wherever you try out for American Idol. And I need you to understand this, okay? This is important. American Idol has established some shows for people who sing like you and I. However, it's the first few episodes of the season. And I know you want to be on TV. I want to be on TV. I can understand that desire. But that's not really the way that you were looking to get on. Okay? So just if I could just give you this one little bit of advice. If you did hear that from your mom, again, God love her. She's a wonderful woman. Has nothing to do with your mom. Okay? If you ever did hear that from your mom, and your mother has never personally, you know, recorded an album, produced an album, or been involved in the recording industry directly, can I just recommend, again, take this for what it's worth. We can talk about it after the service. Can I just recommend you get a second opinion? Maybe a school music teacher, someone in your life who has some sort of, you know, musical inclinations, and just ask someone else. But the reality is, regardless of what your story is, as you begin to pull those things to your mind, it may have taken you a moment to get there, but once you eventually got that picture there, I bet you remember who said it. I bet you remember when they said it. I bet you remember the context, the surroundings that led to them saying. As a matter of fact, if you're over 35 like myself, you may have even embellished the story a little bit of where that came from that they said. I need you to know that it's totally okay. God's okay with that. The older you get with each year, you can just add things to that story. It's just, that's quite all right. That's a positive part of your memory and my memory. He just gives us that freedom, okay? But as those things come to mind, you start to recognize the power of words. The significant impact that someone else's words can have on our soul. And I'd be willing to bet that many of you, like myself, don't recognize this or don't think about this very often. But did you know that there are other people, when they're asked that same question, the statements that they think of, the words that they come to their mind, are words that are out of your mouth? You see, you and I don't think about that all that often, but there's a group of people, someone in your world, someone in your circle, that I'm willing to bet that if they were to ask, what's one of the most encouraging things that anyone has ever said to you, that what they would bring to mind is something specific that you said to them, and they remember the context, they remember the setting, they remember exactly when and how you spoke it into their life. See, it's just true. There is an element of power in our words, isn't it? And I'm convinced that it's not accidental. I'm convinced that the God of the universe so shaped our souls, so shaped our hearts, that he created us with this ability, this capacity to be impacted powerfully by the words of another. He put this tool in our mouths. He gave us this capacity, this ability to speak these words of life and hope and encouragement into the lives of others. This isn't accidental. It's something that God strategically designed into the heart and soul of every one of us. And it's as a result of this, it's because this is how God's wired us, that he chose to speak so clearly about how he wants us to use our words. That he chose to speak multiple times throughout the scripture about how he wants us to use the positive power of our words in the hearts and lives of those around us. I want to show you one of those passages, if you'll turn with me in your Bible. The passage I want us to look at is in Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Now, if you don't have a Bible with you, don't worry about it. We're going to put the verses up on the screen for you. If you do, and you're relatively new to Bible study, then you'll probably want to turn about 75 or 80% toward the back part of your Bible. That's called the New Testament. Once you get in that back part, you're going to go past Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, Corinthians, all that. Four little books, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians. You're going to land in Ephesians chapter 4. That's where we're going to be for a few minutes this morning. I'm going to be reading out of the NIV. And what I want to do here is Ephesians 4, 29 is where we're going specifically. What I want to do is I want to read the entire verse here. And then I want to come back and kind of take it apart piece by piece. So just track with me as I read the entire verse of Ephesians 4, 29. Paul writes this. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. All right, let's kind of break that apart just for a second. He starts off with this first little phrase, and he says, don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths. Now, I don't know if you've heard this verse before, what the context is that you've heard it before. I have traditionally heard this used to tell people not to use foul language or not to curse or things like that. And that's probably a great application of this. But I really think if you look at the broader context of this passage, I think one of the things that you see is that God is recognizing here that our words have the potential of harming others. And so as a result of that, he says these unwholesome or these rotten words that come to your mind, that make it to your tongue, that start to make it out of your mouth, he says, stop it right there. Don't let those words out of your mouth. Find another way, rather than speaking to someone, rather than lashing those words out, lashing your tongue out to someone else, find another outlet for that. Don't let those words come out of your mouth, because those words are going to harm people. But rather, he says, here's the kind of words that I want you to let come out of your mouth. Don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up. And he gives us this idea that there's a way that our words can make a powerful impact in someone else's life. There's a way that our words can help people reach a higher level. There's a way that our words can help people expand their lives or can add to their lives. If you and I lived in the original audience that read this, the word for building others up there would have made perfect sense to us, because it was a common word that existed in their language at that point in time. It's a word that if we could kind of translate into our world right now, that might be taking a kind of small average house and adding onto a screened-in porch or a sunroom onto the back of it. It's expanding it. It's adding onto it. It's building it up. It's making it better. It might would take a small average kitchen, and it might would knock a wall out or whatnot to expand it to make it better. And so what he's saying is that the potential, the power of our words is that we have the capacity of using our words in such a way that builds others up, that helps them reach a higher place, a higher destination in life that they would have never reached on their own. He says, these are the kind of words that I want you to let out of your mouth. And then he gives this little parenthetical statement right after this. Only what's helpful for building others up according to their needs. And this is a powerful concept, okay? Essentially what he's saying here is this implies an element of awareness on each of our parts of what the needs of the people are that are around us. So that if God has given you a sibling, if God has given you a spouse, if God has given you children, if God has given you employees, God says, one of the things I want you to do is I want you to speak according to their needs, which implies that we need to know what their needs are, that we need to have an element of attentiveness to the people that are around us and what's going on in their world and what their specific needs are. And God says, you come to me, let's talk this over, and I'll tell you how it is I want you to speak to their needs. So don't let any unwholesome words come out of your mouth, but let these words come out. That which is helpful for building others up according to their needs. And then this last little phrase says that it may benefit those who listen. If you've got a New American Standard Bible, or if you kind of a more wooden translation of the Greek there, would say something like that it may give grace to those who hear. He says there's a way that we can take our words and we can use them in such a powerful, significant way that it will infuse grace into the lives of those who hear. That there's a way that we can take our words that will speak life and joy and hope and promise into the lives of the people that God has strategically placed in my life and your life. He says, that's how I want you to use your words. That's how I want you to speak into the lives of others. So here's the really natural question for us. And if you're new around here, you need to understand this is what we do on an ongoing basis. That we are committed to opening up the scriptures and seeing what God has to say and finding a way to flesh them out and live them out in our daily lives. We believe that results in life change. And so that's what we're committed to doing on an ongoing basis. So the question from here is really simple, isn't it? Who has God placed in your life? And what is it they need to hear you say? What would build them up? What would help take them to a higher level, to a different place than they are right now? Let's get a little more specific about that. Husbands, what does your wife need to hear you say? Wives, what does your husband need to hear you say? So you prayed and asked for a child, didn't you? And God gave many of you one. He may have given you more than one. these amazing children that God has entrusted you with, what do they need to hear you say? What words do they need to hear come out of your mouth that will build them up, that will add on to their lives, that will infuse grace into their souls? Some of you asked for God's blessing in your professional world, and he did it. And you're now a supervisor, or you're now a VP, or you're now a CEO, or you're involved in some arena in the professional world, and you've got people that report to you. Let me ask you, the people that you lead, what do they need to hear you say? What strategic, intentional words do they need to hear come out of your mouth that would build them up, that would add on to their lives? You know what? Let me give you a few illustrations. Let me give you a few examples. And if you're a person that takes notes, you might want to write a couple of these things down, because what I'm going to ultimately ask you to do after this is over is I'm going to ask you to pick one, and I'm going to ask you to go do it, to live it out. Let me walk you through a couple of relationships here and just give you some specific context. If you're a married man, I do not know your wife. I've not met your wife. She did not meet with me before this and ask me to say this. But I've been married for almost 16 years, and I know this. Every woman on the planet needs the man in their life to look them in the eyes and say, "You're beautiful." And say, "Honey, I face a lot of temptation in life, but I need you to know that you're worth 100% of my affection and my desire. 100%. You're worth it. You're the love of my life." Guys, you speak that into the lives of your wives, and it will build them up. It will land on their soul. It will help them reach a new place in life. Ladies, God's given you a husband. Let me just tell you, I can tell you this from firsthand experience. There's nothing in the world like our spouse is looking at us and looking us deep into our eyes and saying, "I trust you. I love following your leadership. Honey, I know that you're going through a tough time at work, or I know that you've got this mountain that you need to climb or this hurdle that you need to overcome, but you need to know that I believe in you. I believe you and God can do this together. You've got what it takes in this setting." I'm telling you, ladies, when you speak that into our lives, we feel like we can climb Mount Everest. We feel like there's nothing that we can't do because you've built us up. If you're a single adult here today, and you've got friends in your life who've been praying for a spouse, and God just hasn't delivered that yet at this time, and they feel like they're just no longer worthy, they feel like they're no longer worth pursuing, do you know how powerful it is to sit down with them over a cup of coffee and to look them in the eyes and say, "Look, you need to understand you are desirable. You are worth pursuing. You are very, very marriageable. You're a special person." Do you know how that lands on their soul? If you're a parent, I don't care what age your children are. If they're, you know, just tiny and you don't feel like your words are making any impact, if they've made it into teenager zone and they just hate even hearing you speak, you know, if they're, you know, 40 years old and you feel like your voice doesn't matter in their world anymore, I'm telling you, it does. And God has given you power. And for you to look them into the eyes and say, "You know what? I believe in you. I believe God is carving out a path for your life. And I believe that you can follow him and he and you can make a great difference in the world. I believe in you." No matter what the age of your child is, that makes a profound impact in their world. Let me flip that coin just for a second. If you're a teenager here today, if you're a college student, if you're of any age and your parents are still on the planet today, do you know that your words have a huge impact in the life of your parents? That you think, "Oh, they're just parents. You know, they don't even have feelings. I'm not even sure, you know, their feelings exist." I'm telling you, they desperately need to be built up by the things that you say. For you to look at them across a kitchen table and say, "Mom, Dad, thank you for your sacrifice for me. It makes me feel valuable. It makes me feel loved. I love the fact that you're my mom and you're my dad." Oh, man, that just feels like it changes the world for us. If you're an employer, when's the last time that you've looked at one of your employees in the eyes, that you've pulled them kind of away from the crowd and said, "You make such an incredible contribution to this team. This team would not be the same without you. We need you." and tell them you're worth every penny that we pay you. You are a great player on this team. Man, that'll change their world. Similarly, employees. You feel like your supervisor doesn't need to hear things from you. They absolutely do. They need to hear that you love following their leadership, that you feel like you can bloom under their leadership, that you thank them for the environment, the context that they are creating for you to grow in. So here's the question I want to ask you. Who's God placed in your world? How does he want you to leverage your words in their life to impact their soul, to build them up, to help them take life to the next level? You see, I am well aware that there's a group of you here today, and you're maybe a little bit introverted, or you just didn't grow up in a home where, you know, verbal affirmation was a big deal, or that didn't happen a whole lot for you. And here's just what I want to say to you. I understand that. I'm not wired that way, but I know people are, and I understand that. And I understand how hard it can be. But here's what I need you to hear. That your choice to choose comfort over investment in someone else's life is a tragic choice. Because there are people that God has placed in your life who will never reach the place that they could ultimately reach if you don't strategically use your words to invest in their soul. And so I'm going to ask you, and for many times this is mainly men, to move beyond your comfort level, to move to the place that you would build the people up in your world and overcome your discomfort and speak into their world. So here's what I want you to do. This is what we do all the time around here. We figure out what the scripture has to say and how we can live it out in our lives. Who is, and you may need to ask God about this, who's at least one person who God has placed in your life who desperately needs to hear something from you this week? You see, what I want you to do is I want you to get alone with God this week. Maybe you need to do it today before he gets too far away from you. And I want you to get alone with God, and I want you to say, God, you know, you've placed all these different relationships around me. Who is it that you need me to build up with my words? And then when he gives you that insight, when you just sense who the right person is, I want you to go do it and go speak into their soul. Look them in the eyes and be intentional and be purposeful and be clear and speak it right to them. As a matter of fact, we want you to take it to another level. I want you to go beyond just saying it. On your way out today, we're going to actually give you a little piece of stationery. And as we give you this stationery, it's just blank. There's nothing on it. But what I want you to do is when you get alone with God and you pray about who this person is, I want you to write out exactly what it is that you're planning to say to them. And then when you take it to them and when you say it verbally, I want you to hand this to them and say, look, just hang on to this. Maybe you can read this at another time, but I'm not sure how well I said it, but this is what I was intending to say. Folks, you have no idea. They may hang on to this for the next 10 years. Because of how God has used you to speak into their lives. Do you think there's any way that my little basketball coach had any concept 15 plus years ago when he walked into a gym that he was about to say something to me that would anchor in my soul for 15 plus years and would be fuel for what carries me? Do you think he had any idea? No way. Let me ask you. Do you have any idea the impact that your words are going to make into the people's lives that you speak them into? You don't. And that's the beautiful thing about obeying God. The beautiful thing is we have no idea what hangs in the balance, but when God takes our little act of obedience, he can use that. If all of us here today, all of us listening to this message, choose to do that today, he can use that to change the world. God can do that. He can take small little things and bring about eternal, significant impact. God has that ability, that capacity. So what's going to come from what you say? I don't know. But I do know this, that kids who are spoken to in the right way at the right time by their parents might just make wiser choices with their morality. Spouses who are spoken to in the right way at the right time, who are built up by their words, might just choose to remain faithful in their marriage. They might choose to say no to temptation and yes to their marriage. Employees who are built up at the right time, at the right way, They might just be more faithful, more diligent in their work environment. We have no idea what the implications of this might be. But here's what we know, that God has spoken very clearly about how it is that he wants us to use our words. He's put a power in our tongue, and he wants us to use it to impact the lives of others. Well, you know what? It's really easy for me to stand up here and tell you what to say. But I'd like to take it to another level. I'd like to not just tell you what to say. I'd like to show you how to do it. If you would you please welcome my son, Boone C. Boone is a 7-year-old, and he is a first grader, and he is an incredible, incredible boy. And I'm so grateful for him. And Boone, you know that I love you, don't you? And you know that I would just do anything for you. And you know that as I look at your life, I want you to accomplish great things in life. I want you to get straight A's your whole life. I want you to hit a home run every time you go up to bat. You know how we've been talking about winning the Heisman Trophy and that kind of thing? But you know what? I need you to know this. That no matter what you ever do, your whole life, good or bad, perform well, don't perform well, that I'm committed to you for the rest of my days. That my love for you is unconditional. No matter what you ever accomplish or don't accomplish, I love you because of who you are and not because of what you do. And I thank you for being my son. Thanks, buddy. I don't know what's going through his mind right now. I know what's probably going through his mind. Is there any way I could play Madden 08 on those screens? Wow, that would be awesome. But what if I continue to say those things in a strategic way, the right time, at the right place? What difference is it going to make in his life? I don't know. But I know this, that God has invested an element of power in my words. And he has created his soul in such a way that it is meant to be impacted by the things I say. And so God says to me, don't let those harmful things come out. But here's what I want you to let come out. What's helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may give grace to those who hear. So you got an opportunity starting right now. An opportunity to walk out of here, to ask God who it is that he wants you to build up, to write it down, take it to him, and go ahead and say it. And watch how God might change the world through what you say. Let's pray together. God, I want to say thanks for Coach Temple. I want to say thanks for using his words way beyond his ability, way beyond his even knowledge of how you were going to use them. Thanks for using them to impact my soul. God, thanks for my friends that are here today who are listening to this message, who right now going through their minds is just trying to figure out, Lord, who have you placed in my life? And maybe for some of us, it feels like more people than we could even accomplish. But God, I just pray for at least one that you will bring really clearly to my mind, to every one of our minds, and that we would have the courage, the wisdom, the insight to write it out, to say it. And God, when we do that, would you go beyond what we could even ask or imagine, and would you change lives? God, would you make us a people who build others up with what we say, that add on to their lives, and would you continue to put people in our lives that would do the same for us? God, we're so grateful that we're your children, that you're our Father, and that we get to walk with you today. And we're grateful for Jesus, and we pray it in his name. Amen.